Open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 4, and I'm going to look at verse 8. And Job is a peculiar way to start. But if you know the story of Job, Job was undergoing all kinds of destruction and issues caused by Satan. Satan came and destroyed his family, destroyed his crops, and destroyed his cattle. And Satan was wreaking havoc in his life. But the Lord built a hedge around Job that Satan couldn't take his life out. And so the rest of the book, after those first initial chapters, the rest of the book is just a dialogue between Job and his friends. And his friends are trying to figure out why all of this has happened to Job. And it's an interesting story. But I just want to drop in chapter 4, verse 8. This is Eliphaz's words to Job. He says, "As I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. As I've seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." What he's saying here is there's a principle in life. And I don't think Eliphaz is wrong. Now, what is peculiar about Job is Job becomes, in essence, an exception to the rule. But he says this, "I have seen in life that basically people reap what they sow." They reap what they sow. That those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same, iniquity and trouble. What you sow, you will reap. Genesis, chapter 8, verse 22, Bible says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." After the flood, I know that Noah and his family were probably wondering what's going to happen with the earth around now, but God says, "No, I'm making a covenant with you that there's going to be a continual repetition of seasons, that we're still going to have springtime and fall, and we're going to have seed time, and we're going to have harvest, and things are still going to rotate as they have, because it's a principle I've placed in the earth realm." So now, no matter how much you want to hope that this principle doesn't work in your case, it's going to work in your case. You think, "Well, I can live a horrible life and treat people badly, but man, I want to reap all the good." Sorry, not sorry. It doesn't work that way. This is an eternal principle, okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul said it this way, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So this principle is set in the earth realm, sowing and reaping. And it works in families. It works in relationships. If you sow into your family, into your marriage, good things, you're going to build a better marriage and a better family. Amen? Matter of fact, what's one of the biggest issues we have in society now is we have a broken society because we have broken families because negative seeds have been sown in those families. And we're seeing the bad result of that, the breakdown of the family through negative seeds being sown. Okay. An American educator, A.E. Winship, decided to trace the descendants of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was one of the greatest American preachers we've known. Lived in the 1700s. He was a scholar. He could read numerous languages, Latin, Hebrew, Greek, by these teenage years. He would study, some say, 13 hours a day. He went to the mission field, which would have been Western Massachusetts back in the day, and ministered among the Native Americans, came back and died, actually, after being appointed the president of the very young Princeton University. So, a magnificent man. If you ever go back and read his works, which I have read some of them, they are brilliant. Some think he was the greatest American thinker. But a godly man, a very godly man. So someone did a study of his descendants. And they traced 150 years after Jonathan Edwards' death. And here's what they found. His legacy includes one American president, one dean of a law school, one dean of a medical school, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professors, 75 military officers, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, 100 clergymen, and 285 college graduates. He sowed the right seeds, and it came out in his descendants. Now, they compared this to a man named Max Jukes, who lived in the same time frame as Jonathan Edwards, but did not believe in God, was an atheist, and they studied his lineage because they found that in his family line were numerous people that were in the New York State prison system. And they found that his descendants included 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 190 prostitutes, 150 convicts, 310 paupers, 440 who were physically wrecked by addiction to alcohol. Of the 1,200 descendants that were studied, 300 died prematurely. These contrasting legacies provide us an example of what some call that five-generation rule, how a parent raises their child. They love, they give, they teach values, the emotional environment. It pays off, not only in the now, but 4 generations to follow. That's sowing seed, good and bad. Not only will it come out in your kids in this next generation, but it'll come out in 5 generations to come. Wow. So today is the father of tomorrow. What we are today is the result of what we've been thinking and doing in the past. We didn't just happen like this. Those who make wise decisions today will have wisdom in the future to make wise decisions. Those who save today will have money tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm just going to get down in it today, all right? So hang on. It's a short-sighted person who thinks only of the now. Let's do as little as possible. Let's not obey the precepts of God now. The nation of Israel was like this in the Old Testament. They didn't do the will of God and were pushed out, driven out of their promised land, their homes, and the society they knew, and the protection. They became slaves because they fell away from the Lord, worshiped other gods, and treated people wrongly. And God judged him from that. It took a while, but God eventually judged him from that. So everyone in this room can understand sowing and reaping. The farmers in this room really understand sowing and reaping. Why? Because you live by sowing and reaping. You sow seed, and you know from that seed you will get crops. So everyone understands this, Christian and non-Christian, and it applies universally to Christians and non-Christians. It's important. It's super important. So I'm going to give you 3 principles of sowing and reaping, and we're going to relate them to the family. Are you ready?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Number 1, when you sow, you will reap in kind to what you sow. In kind. When you sow, you will reap in kind. So you will reap of the same kind of thing that you sow. A farmer knows if he sows corn seed, he's looking for a harvest of corn. If he sows soybean seed, he's looking for a harvest of soybean. If he sows wheat, he's looking for a harvest of wheat. It would be ridiculous for a farmer to sow wheat seed and go out and look for corn. It would be ridiculous to put tomato plants and sow tomato seed in your backyard and go out there, and when you see the tomatoes blooming, you get all mad because you don't see those cucumber vines you were hoping for. It doesn't work that way. Same way in our personal lives. What we've been sowing, if you've been sowing the wrong thing, don't come looking for the good results. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He's the one who gives us seed. So you sow corn, you get corn. Sow beans, you get beans. You sow generosity, you get generosity. You sow kindness, you get kindness. You sow love, you get love. Come on, somebody. You may say, but that's not always true. Sometimes people are mean. Hang on. Keep sowing love. Keep working it. You got to work it. You know, this is something that I was even concerned about preaching this, because sometimes we think this gets into the realm of magic. But you know, the Bible tells us that the person who says there's a lion in the street and doesn't get up and go out and even put his hand to anything will end in poverty. So it's not just sowing and reaping, it's sowing and doing the work and reaping. It's sowing and living the life and reaping. It's sowing and tending that seed and reaping. This is why I think some people say, well, I gave in an offering and I made a faith declaration. Have you saved any money? No, I get by anything I want. Do you have a job? No, God's going to provide because I sowed a seed. Well, you got part of it right. But the other part was you have to be diligent and work that seed. A farmer doesn't just plant and say, boys, I'll be back in the fall. I'll see you in harvest time. No, he's got to get out there and work that thing. He's got to work those fields. Believe me, I raised a garden for a few years and I learned how difficult my little garden was. And I've said it many times, but afterwards I didn't figure out much how to grow fruit or grow vegetables, but man, I could grow weeds better than anybody coming and going. Because I found out if you didn't watch that thing every single day, especially when summer got hot, those weeds started coming, it would just overtake you. You got to work that seed, make sure that is properly tended, and then when harvest comes, you're the most busy of all. When harvest comes, it's all hands on deck. We're going to work day and night to get all this harvest in. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
So you can't just bring your family to church on Sunday and go home and act like a devil for the next 7 days. Y'all still love me? We're going to feed you free hot dogs and hamburgers right after this. Just hang on. You can't do that. You got to work that seed. You got to work it. You got to work it. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you want to sow some love on Sunday, then continue on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Keep sowing that love. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Sir Robert Watson Watt was the inventor of the radar system. That's the one that police use to catch you when you're speeding. And here's what's funny. He himself was arrested for, or was pulled over for speeding. He was caught in a radar trap. Shortly after this irony, he wrote this poem. Pity Sir Robert Watson Watt, strange target of his radar plot, and this with others I could mention, a victim of his own invention. Sowing and reaping. How funny is that? Sowing and reaping. You're going to sow in kind. Next thing, you're always going to sow more. You're going to reap more than what you sow. You're going to reap more. You're going to reap in kind. You're going to reap more. Why? Because every farmer knows when we sow a seed, we're not just looking. If I sow a cucumber seed, I'm not expecting just one cucumber to come back. I'm expecting a vine to run and me to pick off many cucumbers from that vine. Can somebody shout amen? If we spit out a watermelon seed, and it somehow gets planted in the ground, we're not looking for just one watermelon to come back. We're looking for a vine full of watermelons. Oh, hallelujah. Right? If you one corn seed, principle works, trees, oak trees, blah, blah, blah. It works over and over. There's an exponential growth that's in every seed. That's God's miracle, people. That's God's work right there, that there's an exponential growth in each seed. So when we're sowing stuff, we need to realize that it's going to come back as a bigger crop. Jesus said this, give and it will be given to you. But how's it given to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We give and God gives back exponentially. Oh, hallelujah. What we just sowed to Bangladesh and to Myanmar, $10,000 and whatever you guys add to that, God's gonna bless that. God's gonna bless that. And you know what? He's gonna multiply that. And I don't know what we're getting back from it. We didn't give to get, but we're gonna get something back from it, because the generous soul shall be made fat, the Bible says. And he's not talking about this kind of fat. He's talking about will be blessed, because fat was a blessing in the Bible.
Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Preach that on YouTube. Hallelujah. Come on, fat was a blessing. The liberal soul shall be made. I was going to say, look at your neighbor and say, fat's okay, but we're not going to do that, okay? Biblical fat is okay. Paul said in Philippians 4, he said, and you Philippians, you yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no one helped me. Even in Thessalonica, though, you sent help to me once and again. And now that I seek the gift, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases. He said, you guys helped me when I was in a difficult place. No one else did. And then he says, I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasable to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory. That verse that we quote comes in the context of Paul saying, you guys gave to me when no one else gave. And he says the promise back to you is God's going to provide every need of yours. Exponentially, I'm praying it comes back to you. You know, several years ago, we were in a board meeting, and we made a phone call to a pastor we had met in Ecuador. And this pastor was a wonderful guy. He and his wife, beautiful couple. They had started a church in their living room and they outgrew it. They went to a rented facility and outgrew it. And they wanted to build a church. And we sat here and we talked to them. Guys, we want to help y'all. And then we got off that call, and me and my executive council, we sat around and we thought, how can we do this? We could loan them money. And we talked about all kinds of stuff. Finally, someone dropped this idea. They said, why don't we just give them $100,000? I was like, say what? They're like, we think we can find it in our budget. And I'm like, are you serious? No, we had never done anything at that level. And we talked about it as a committee. And I sent them home to pray about it. We came back and we said, let's do it. Let's pull the trigger. We gave those guys $100,000. They today have moved in and dedicated a new church in this city in Ecuador, and some of our missions team and some of you guys have been there to visit it. I've yet to see it, but they even changed their name to Fountain of Life. Hallelujah. Yeah. Only a few weeks after that decision was made, I received a visit one day from a local pastor. He walked into my office, put a real estate pamphlet down in front of me, and he said, Brother Hans, I've been praying, and I felt God sent me here to talk to you today. There's a church in Edenton that's on foreclosure. I thought you guys might be interested in looking at it. I thought, I'm sitting here thinking, what? I said, okay, well, thank you very much. I took it before our committee. We went and looked at the building, and the first working day of 2019, we decided to purchase that building. We purchased it for cash money we had in the bank. Then we took out a $200,000 construction type loan to renovate the building. Didn't spend one red dot cent of it. We built out the building, everything paid for, debt free, 22,000 square feet. That's our Edenton campus. Now, how did we do that? I'm telling you, you'll never convince me otherwise. I believe the hand of God exponentially blessed us because we blessed some people in need down in Ecuador. I believe God gave back more than what we sowed. Are y'all hearing me here? Are you hearing me this morning? We got hot dogs and hamburgers coming, but hang on for a few more minutes. You hearing me? Give me a wave if you hear me this morning. And so we have plans right now to expand this sanctuary to over 1,000 seats. We do. It's super exciting. We found out, we talked to some engineers and found out we can take this wall this way toward the road. We found out we can blow out this wall and go this way with offices and a new foyer. And we found out that we can elevate the back level with stadium-like seating to take us over 1,000. Now, we started getting numbers like, this is going to cost you about $6 million. I'm like, we don't have $6 million, but it's going to cost you $6 million. Well, okay, get the prayer people together, hallelujah. I said, first thing we need to do is get the intercessors together. So we got the prayer people together, and after they prayed, they came back, and I said, what did they say? And Brad told me, he said, here's what they say. And I already knew it, I'd already spoken it. They said, we need to sow big. To get to that, we didn't have the money in the bank to do it, so that means evidently what we had in the bank was seed that we could sow for a harvest. Are you kidding me, Pastor? Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. This is how we operate. So we decided, our council met last year. At the ending of last year, we decided to give a friend of ours $100,000 to build a building that's costing him $12 million to build, and he's opening this building in the next few weeks or so. Hallelujah. And we sowed that in Jesus' name. I happened to run into him in Nashville. This is Kent Christmas. I ran into Kent in Nashville, Dana and I did, in a parking garage going to a Christmas banquet. And I said, here's something we just wanted to bless you with from our church. Just in a, I think it was in an envelope, or he said, well, thank you, Brother Hans. He put it in his pocket. We went on and talked, had a night. After the meeting was over, a little bit later, I get a call. Brother, glory to God. Tell your council I'm praying 100-fold return on their investment in the name of Jesus. I was like, come on, man. Hallelujah. Then after the first of the year, we were able to sow another 100,000 that you guys gave into another ministry, and we are not finished yet. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're out of the natural realm of thinking, and we're into the supernatural sowing and reaping now. Supernatural sowing and reaping now. You're going to get back more than what you sow. Final thing is, final word here, is you're going to reap later than you sow. You're going to reap later. So some people get discouraged because they sow or they perform an act of kindness or they speak love and they don't get that immediate return. Well, you know what? That's not how farming works. Because when those fields are plowed and then those fields are planted, they look so beautiful. And you're like, okay, come on. Now, come on. Let's get it working next week. 3 weeks. No, it takes time. It takes time. It takes time. And I couldn't, you know, when I moved in, I didn't come from a farming area. I came from a coal mining area. And if you wanted to farm in the coal mine hills, it's like this. It's where goats dwell. But I came down here and I couldn't understand the way people harvested corn because corn would get full. And I'm thinking, it's perfect. Then they'd wait. Then they'd wait till it looks like it withers to me. Then you'd see the combines come and start picking that corn. And I'm like, there's a timing. In due season, you're going to reap. You know what that word due season means in Greek? It's the Greek word kairos. It means not in, there's two terms for time in Greek, kairos and chronos. Chronos is where we get chronology from. It's a time that we can figure out. Chronos time is God's opportune time that he has in his determination. So God's going to bring the harvest in his perfect timing. You're going to sow and you're going to reap, but you're going to reap later than what you think But when it comes, oh, hallelujah, it's a blessing. Can you shout amen? Amen. So let me bring this all down, and we're going to pray here in a second, but let me bring it all down to family. What you sow into your family, you're going to reap in kind, you're going to reap greater than you sow, and you're going to reap later on down the road. What should you be sowing in your family? Let me give you three suggestions. Number one, you should sow time. You should sow time. Time is a seed. Sow time by spending time with your spouse, spending time with your kids, spending time with your grandkids, spending time with your grandparents, spending time with your parents, spending time with your cousins, and just put it on a calendar. Dana and I are trying to work this in my life, and I've walked under a lot of conviction over this because I've run so hard for so many years and traveled so hard that we're like, okay, we got, you know, if you have, you've heard the analogy, you have a jar, and if you want to put stuff in a jar, you better start with the big rocks. You put big rocks in, then you can fill in small rocks and sand. But if you fill it with sand and small rocks first, you can't get the big important things in there. So start calendaring the important things first. And I don't know of anything more important than your family. I don't know of anything more important than your family. I don't know of anything more important than your marriage. Start sowing that in and saying, we're going to spend time on this. I'm going to sow time into this marriage. I don't know of any businessman or any professional who were on their deathbed and asked their final words. I don't know anyone that said, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. I wish we would have had one more board meeting. Don't say that. Usually it's all relational. I wish I'd spend more time with my kids. I wish I'd spent more time loving and loving others. So someone shout it out. I'm going to sow time. Second thing I want you to sow is I want you to sow the right words. Words are seeds. If you're sowing the negative, defeating words in your family, you will get a harvest of defeat and negativity. You're sowing those things. If you sow unbelief in your family, don't be surprised if your kids grow up skeptics. If you bring your kids to church and then go home and roast me and have fried preacher for dinner or fried deacon for dinner or whatever, or you complain about the church, then guess what's being sown into your kids? This doesn't mean we don't walk in truth and don't speak truth, but when you sow that, that's their perspective of church now. That's their perspective of church, and they learn to distrust and learn to be skeptical about all that. Listen, we didn't raise our kids perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But one thing we would strive to do is teach our kids about the power of God. And teach our kids about miracles. That God still works miracles. He's still the same God of the Bible. The God we read in this book is the same God that's living today. And so my girls, if they know nothing else, they know how to pray. They know how to flow in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when we prayed, it wasn't, you know, some fanciful intellectual. No, it was Appalachian hillbilly. Yeah. Katie, bar the door. We're going to shout. We're going to dance. We're going to pray. We're going to push through. We're going to rebuke and bind some devils. And we're going to pray for some miracles. Hallelujah. And those girls grew up in that environment. Raise your kids in that environment. Raise your kids in an environment of belief. That you have a positive belief. I believe what God said in the Word. You shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And you shall have whatsoever you say if you believe in your heart. Raise them like that. Go out, raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, preach the kingdom of heaven is now. Believe that. Promote that in your family. Speak that. Work. When somebody's sick, what do? We pray. Number one, we pray. What do? When we have a financial need? Number one, we pray. We seek the Lord. We worship not just at church. We worship at home. Amen. We worship at home. Sow those words. Amen. The other night, Alex sent me a video, and it was of my little kids, Mav and Ariana. We call her Nana, and they're in the back. And they were they were on the foyer, not the foyer, but the fireplace hearth, thank you, and they were having church. And Matt was singing this, get up, get up, get up, get up out, but he was saying, get up on your feet. Get up, get up, get up, get up on your feet. And it really moved me because that's what my girls used to do. They'd get up and have church on the hearth. And then they'd take an offering, and Miss Ruby and Mr. Roy would have to give in that offering. We didn't raise no fools, hallelujah. But that's, you train them. They're mimicking what they know and what's been placed in them. Come on, you know that final thing. Sow deeds. Sow good deeds. Sow good. Do good for your spouse. Do good for your kids. Do good for your friends. I know we could all do better in this. I could have done better and need to do better, but hey, I'm preaching it anyhow. Sow good deeds. Show some love. Bless your family. Maybe you want the newest fishing rod, guys. Maybe you want the newest rifle. Think about your wife. How can I sow into her? Maybe she needs a new dishwasher. Maybe don't be like my one friend who said, hey, I got my wife a new weed eater for Christmas, man. I don't know what the problem is, but maybe don't go down that road. But a nice dinner, a vacation, a piece of jewelry. We believe in it now. You got to be an old timer to get that one. Hallelujah. Something, I don't know, a vehicle that works. Sow it, because what you sow, you're going to get blessed in return. What you sow, you're going to get blessed in return. Oh, is this okay? Is this okay? Give me a wave if this is all right with y'all. How do I make my family better? Sowing and reaping. How do I make my marriage better? Sowing and reaping. Sowing the right. What if I've sown the bad seeds, Hans? What if I've done the wrong things? We're going to pray right now. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is we have access to the forgiving power of Jesus. We have access to the mediator who prays for us. Hey, it's such an honor to have you join us for service. I pray the word was a blessing to you, and I pray you avail yourselves to the resources we have online. And if you're ever in the Elizabeth City area, or I mean Outer Banks or Tidewater, Virginia, make the drive. Come visit us one Sunday. We would love to welcome you here, and you can experience this yourself. As one man used to say, can't be explained, can only be experienced. There's some truth into that. Anyhow, thank you for watching. I pray the Lord will bless you and that you grow in your faith and fulfill the call that God has on your life. We here at Fountain of Life love you.